Good morning, hockey fans of college hockey throughout the United States of America. The Hockey Guys are on the air for the 2025-26 college hockey season.
Hey, Wills, be careful.
Hey, get a blanket there for Eddie. He opened up the one you shook up this morning, Coach.
There's Wills up to his college prank days, shaking up the hams this morning.
We got Crazy Eddie. We got Coach Wilson. I'm the wise one. Doc Phil, he's on vacation. Boys, we're back in town.
This is awfully early.
Where did the summer go? And what's today supposed to be, 90 or 30 degrees Celsius? It's going to be a hot one.
Back in the day, there would have been enough fog that they wouldn't have had any games going on at the old Ralph.
Well, I want to, Eddie, explain this for us. How did your wife go to the hockey game last night? And you were stuck with the grandkids here in Moorhead, Minnesota.
I chose to go out and have a couple of soda pops with the grandkids, and she chose to go to a hockey game, so good for her.
Well, I asked her one grandson, I said, why do you like being with Grandpa? And he said, because we order in pizza and watch yucky movies.
Hey, but us hockey fans got a chance to see Gavin McKenna, the highest paid college hockey player in NCAA history, legally.
Well, he's on the board.
Disclosed. We don't know if he is the highest paid or not, because there may be still some guys that maybe don't report all their income.
Well, I suspect Gavin McKenna at about $750,000 of NIL money is the highest reported player in college hockey. What did you think of Gavin McKenna last night, boys?
Well, he's on the board. He got an assist. I don't know if he got a goal, but he got an assist. I watched the highlight.
Two assists.
So I watched him a little bit, and I just think, he's just smooth. He's headsy.
Isn't he smooth? Light on his feet, his hands?
You know, he reminds me, way back in the day with Prezi Zach at UND, you know, and it's kind of, you're a little nervous playing with him because instead of doing a give and go, he does a double give and go. I mean, he's just that next level. You know he's going to play in the NHL someday, but just, you know, to put him with the right people to get the right success.
You know, on that second assist, the Penn State second goal, before he received the puck, he looked over and saw the winger on the right side wide open. And I think he was expecting the guy with the puck to move it over there. But right when it went to his stick, just nice touch pass right over there, one-timer in. He's a headsy player, nice hands, light on his feet, can skate. But we'll see if, as the season goes along, teams are going to realize you got to put the heavy body on him. You got to lock him up.
How many great guys followed him to Penn State that knew he was going there, you know what I mean, to strengthen that roster? Right?
I noticed that the coach has his son playing for him, and they were more focused on the new player than they were on the – that's pretty unique to have a son playing for his father, I think, right?
Yeah, that's a special –
Podolski, right?
Yeah, that's special.
Unless it's
nephew. You know what was special was watching Lincoln Keene play for Arizona State last night. West Fargo product, played in the National Development Program for 2 years.
You spent a little time with his father sitting in the back seat probably having soda pops at the youth games over there in West Fargo, didn't you?
10-4. 10-4. But he played well for his first game. But Arizona State doesn't seem to have the depth that they've had in previous years. You know, Potter is a heck of a player.
Potter's play well, yep.
Lucius can play. But they got four freshman defensemen. It's going to be a tough first half of the season for Arizona State. The other thing, I'm going to go back to Penn State. I think the other 19 players on the team have to realize that they have to stop watching McKenna, stop watching Fink. And they got to play themselves in the, you know, Penn State 2-0 after the first. After the second, Arizona is up 3-2. Then Penn State puts the pedal to the metal and puts four goals in the third period. I think we're going to see a lot of that for the first couple weeks. What do you think, boys?
again, 1 week of so-called practice and you're not playing exhibition games. These games count towards trying to set up the rest of the season. So, yeah.
Hey, Eddie, do you think there's only been 1 week of practice? I think practice started on May 31st, didn't it?
Again, officially 1 week of practice.
They don't leave the ice. They go, you know. You know, I always bring up past history. I remember Bobby Joyce talking to him once. He went from, the Canadian Olympic team to the Bruins getting to the Stanley Cup championship. But he hit the weight room. He was lost so much weight. He goes, I got to bulk up here. But those guys are on the ice all the time training.
Yeah, you have to. You know, the score that I'll mention Colorado College last night. Two local products, Gavin Lindbergh from Moorhead and Drew Montgomery, picked up assists in Colorado College victory last night over Connecticut. Colorado College unranked knocks off number 10 Connecticut 4-2. So cheers to the two local products, the Gophers. Wills, what'd you think?
You know, I've tried to study a little bit about,
6-3 over Michigan Tech.
Yeah, preseason recruiting, who had the best recruiting year, preseason, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't surprise me with the Gophers. They had a good recruiting year. They're there. You know, can they finish strong, keep it going? You know, it's but that score didn't shock me.
Well, you take Michigan Tech was up in that game, and the Gophers had to come back for that victory. But Jimmy Clark, Beckett Hendrickson, the Gophers lost 11 players, 5 of their top scorers, right? The question for the Gophers is they've got some good recruits, but who is going to be the leader putting the puck in the net for the Gophers this year? And I think it's going to come down to Jimmy Clark, Beckett Hendrickson. That's the leadership. That's the depth players. And that's the character. Beckett is just a banger out there.
Lamb will be in the mix.
Lamb will definitely be in the mix, too.
You know, I'll throw it out. The Gophers are the Gophers. It's still a place where people want to play. You know, and we're UND guys, yeah, but it is what it is. The Gophers, people want to play for Minnesota Gophers, and they had a great recruiting year. And Mott's is always going to have top-quality players that are going to go on to the NHL.
Hey, I think that's going to change, Eddie, and I think you're with me. Do those top players, you know, historically they went to the Gophers. But I think the junior college, the development program, kids leaving early, playing junior, not playing high school, I think that love affection of those Minnesota players in the cities going to the Gophers is not as tight as it used to be. I think the program with the new rink being built, the St. Thomas Academy, the Tommies, they're going to be the team that you need to watch. What do you think, Big Ed? Crazy Eddie!
Well, no, let's take a look at reality here, right? Let's take a look, and I think what's interesting is the coaches still haven't figured out the portal. So coaches are working on being honest, and the more honest coach is going to end up with the players. So you got to be careful here, because do you think for a second that McKenna was going there? He's already on the power play. He's always on the ice. He's going to play the minutes that he wants to play. And the question is, you know, Guy Gadowski's going to have to make some life decisions on, hold on here, what do I do and how do I get this to function within a group of 20 people? So we do appreciate Hams. Cheers. Our sponsor again, we appreciate them sticking with us here on the Hockey Guys as we take a look at wrapping up. We're starting early, Jeff. I don't know how you got this going, but again, we appreciate our sponsor. Hams is still brewing that truly family tradition using the purest water and choicest barley, grain, and hops.
Welcome back to the Hockey Guys.
I thought you'd have the boys are back in town. You've been sleeping in here. I mean, you look like you're slimmed down. I don't know if it's an illusion because the sun's kind of in my eyes, but you've slimmed down a little bit. You might be a prime date for some gal with two tickets to the Minnesota-North Dakota game in a couple of weeks.
Well, I need 3 tickets if she's coming with.
Well, yeah. No, so if you 293...
9,000.
You're sitting out there looking for 9, somebody to escort 000. You to the Gopher Sioux game, North Dakota game.
Hey, before we continue our discussion in the first segment. We have Steve from the Deer Camp on the line with us. Good morning, Steve. Give us a report.
Good morning, boys. The sun's shining, the wind's blowing, there's nothing happening out here, but we're having a good time.
Hey, little early for deer camp, but you could have been up there getting a few grouse or a few little other birds.
You got to get things in place. Like, one, Uncle Nate's got to get that deer stand fixed up and running clean, and I don't accept it if it's not done when I get up there. And two,
Put hand railings on.
Two piles.
Go, Steve, go fishing with this guy, and you'll see. You'll see that he hasn't been too.
And then the two piles of sugar beets, so we can get off the Davenport and get mesmerized at deer coming in.
We're working on putting an escalator up to Uncle Nate's deer stand.
No, is that for Wills?
I hope it ain't the one for Trump.
This one just keeps on running, never stops.
Exactly. Hey, what question you got to ask us, Steve, about hockey?
I was just wondering if I could get a score from the Gopher game last night from Eddie.
Yeah, the Gophers won 6-3 over Michigan Tech, so the Gophers beat the Dogs.
The Huskies, yeah. How about that?
You know, the Huskies, though, gave it to the Gophers, though. I'll tell you that. The Gophers had to come back in the third period.
Good thing we had Big Ten officials for that one.
Yes.
Never hurts, right?
Well, yeah, thanks for calling in, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, you be safe now. Safety awareness, and make sure Uncle Nate's got a GPS on him, because he don't even know how to get to his car.
It's Kitsville and Carlstead. They're both kind of in the middle of nowhere, and nobody cares if you're there.
Ouch. Ouch.
Hey,
good work, boys.
Hey, thank you very much. Take care of Coach for us. Thank you for calling. We got Terry on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just checking in for the season, and I told your screener that normally you're on Hallstrom and I'm listening, but I didn't hear you guys on there. For the beginning of the season.
970.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, you know what you have to do? Awesome. You have to call this radio station, 701-293-9000, and tell the management, Hallstrom, they have to give us some more love during the week to let everybody know that this was and this is the start of the Hockey Guys 2025-26 season.
Oh, yeah. But every year I have to check in, and for not knowing much about hockey, listening to you every year, I am learning more and more.
Hey, that's excellent.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you listening.
Hey, I love listening to you guys.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Hey, what's your favorite team out there, Terry?
The Wild.
You know, the Wild, boy, they got the most expensive player in the NHL right now, Kaprizov. I hope that's a trend that, I don't know, is that going to be a downward spiral for the NHL? I don't know.
How about college, Terry?
UND.
Hey, smart man. Thank you.
University of, hey, speaking of
You have listened well. We appreciate that.
Hey, thanks. Terry, listen, speaking of the University of North Dakota, we got head hockey coach Dane Jackson coming on at 9:34 a.m. this morning.
Should he answer Jeff's call? But we're not sure if Jeff gets screened or not. No.
Oh no, we've exchanged text messages. He's all ready to go. He's doing his alphabets, his job practices. He's going to be geared up, ready to go, just like the UND hockey team's going to be geared up to go tonight against the University of Manitoba. Education. What are they? The Bison?
Yep, the Bison.
They are.
Hey, Terry, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. Don't be a stranger. Give us a call.
I will. Thank you.
Say, let's continue our discussion here. You know, the big talk over the last couple of years was the portal, players moving. Now you've got the Canadian Hockey League. You got players coming out of the North American League, the USHL.
Canadian Major. Not minor, but Canadian Major.
Major, big time.
And you're talking players coming over from Switzerland, Sweden, Norway, all over players coming. Wilts, as a coach, you have a player sitting on the third, fourth line. You love this kid. He's the hardest working player on your team. All of a sudden, you have to say, you know what, son? We brought in two other players through the portal or from Major Canada Hockey or from Switzerland, Sweden.
Like high school hockey.
Well, here's what I think, you know, and it, as a former coach, I get stressed out thinking about it because you're there hired as a coach.
Hey, don't eat if you get stressed out. Just
the university.
Ham's beer.
You're hired to improve that program or keep it at the level it's at, right? So it's about integrity, honesty, being truthful to your players. And that's hard, you know. Everybody talks, we laugh when they go, everybody's against the portal unless Gretzky comes to your school. Then, oh, geez, what a great idea. You know what I mean? But how do you, when you make decisions a lot of times, and that might bite some coaches, when you make decisions, you got to put your heart on the shelf and make the decision what's best for the university. And it's tough. You know, you're playing, I'm the fourth D, and all of a sudden they bring in two guys that are better than me. Now I'm the sixth D. And I'm sitting there going, I've been here for a couple of years, and you gotta bring in the best. You gotta play the best. And that's the challenges that coaches have because you don't want a reputation about lying to guys. You gotta be open and honest, straight up. This is where it's at. And let the cards fall. People have moved because of it. You know, I think of one goalie in particular. He moved, you know, because he thought maybe a better opportunity at a different university. You got to be honest to your players. And the challenges to coaches in the college today, I tip my hat off to them.
You know, one team that did a 20-player flip was Omaha. At the end of the season last year, I think 20 players got their ticket to leave. Their coach brought in 20 new players, and you know what the score was last night? Omaha 3, Air Force 2 in overtime at the Baxter Arena in Omaha. So I don't know, but
The good news in the NCHC almost had a perfect start. Arizona, we needed Arizona last night.
Yes, yeah, that we needed Arizona. We're going to have to bring someone on a heck of a lot smarter than us to talk about the pairwise is out. We have the new whatever it's called. We're going to have to bring someone in next week to explain
that.
So
here's the fun part.
But Eddie.
Here's the fun part. I'm just going to throw this out because we're a pretty Midwest organization. And some folks may not really understand, but there's just this little place a little bit down to the south. You got Bovee, you got Hallock, you got Grand Rapids. You've got Hallock, you've got Grand Forks. You've got some kids playing down at Augustana, that Will Howard, right? You've got some kids playing down at Augustana, and there's another program that is now in its third year. This is their year. Either this thing takes off for Mr. Raboyne. So there's a lot of fun stuff that we can have going on here as we go through the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, they tied up St. Cloud last night, 2-2 at St. Cloud, the Herb Brooks Center. But I think there this year, probably more than ever, the pressure is on the coaches. And I think it goes back to you, Wills, where you say do what's best for the university. I think the pressure is on the coaches now more than ever to win. I think the fan base is there for all the top programs in the nation. And I'm not just saying the top programs. Take a look at, you know, the CCHA. Their teams. They're sellouts every night. The pressure is on every coach to perform. And I think they got to bring in the top players no matter where they come from.
I agree. And depending where you're at, you recruit, I think, a little differently. I remember talking to Scott Sandlin, you know, recruiting what fit their program and what they're looking for. Augustana, we talk about that. You know, you got Howard there, but it's just different. So
again, a little shout-out, Fargo Forest, Dakota Refrigeration, Carp World, thanks for coming back with another year here in the Hockey Guys. And this period's intermission sponsor, Citywide Electric. Experience you can trust for design, repair, and installation of any home or business electrical projects. That's Citywide Electric. Go find them at citywideelectric.com. And Jeff, who do we have coming up for the next segment?
First year head coach for the University of North Dakota hockey program, Coach Dane Jackson. No stranger to the program.
Hey, come join us. Cheers. Hey. again tomorrow morning, some of you Vikings fan will be doing about the same time we do here on the Hockey Guys.
Welcome back. We have the pleasure to visit with one of the top college hockey coaches in the nation, Dane Jackson from North Dakota Hockey. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, the burning question that we have is this. You brought in a ton of players this offseason. How are the players gelling as a team? What are you seeing on the ice? How are they developing as a team?
Yeah, great question. They've been coming together really well. That's going to be our big challenge, obviously, with 15 new guys out of 27. We have a lot of coming together to do. We have lots of growth as a group to be on the same pace. But we've had a great training camp, and actually started before that. It started on July 7th when all of our players were in working hard in the gym with Mark Pullman. So they did a ton of work together as far as training and doing good stuff together, kind of doing some bonding in the summer. And then we obviously kind of first week of school, kind of that welcome week at UND was basically had a great week there with all of our pro guys back. And then we've had a great kind of month of training camp from there. So I think they're coming together really well. A lot of our guys are kind of figuring out our culture, how we do things, what we kind of the behavior that we're rewarding and stuff that we're snuffing out. So that's been a really good kind of 5 weeks that we've had back on the ice this fall.
You know, I really, really like the players that were named captain, assistant captains. And one that, you know, the leadership, the glue. You look at Ben Strinden, the Iron Man Award, 3 years in a row. I just took Dean Wilson's question, so he's mad at me there, Coach. But you take a look at the players that you have named, and let's do a shout out to those players that are really the force behind the leadership of your team this year.
Yeah, well, we feel really fortunate with our leadership group we have. And again, that's pretty much picked by the players. You know, we obviously look at it as a staff, but the players, you know, out of a regular week, we spend, I don't know, 20% or 15% of the time with the guys. The players are with each other all the time. So they know the guys really well. Bennett Zamolak is just a North Dakota guy through and through. He's tough. He's physical. He kind of lives life the right way. Super presence filled, and just a really, really sharp guy that when he speaks up, everybody really respects him and listens. Then you get, some of our more vocal guys. Like I think with, Livanovic, returning All-American, probably our best returning player. He's just – kind of just a lot of presence to him as a young man too. He knows he's been around the program for a couple of years, been in the key moments, and he always kind of steps up and says the right things. Ben Strinden, just super positive, kind of outgoing, gregarious young man who really leads with his heart in his sleeve and does all the right things. Obviously, he's got North Dakota blood in him from years and years back, so he knows what it's all about and the importance of the program to him and his family. And then Abram Weeb is quite a bit like Strinds. He's a really sharp, positive, outgoing, kind of brings the energy all the time, really sharp guy. He's obviously a heck of a player, but a really vocal presence. And then Dylan James is probably a little bit more like our captain in Bennett. Just just kind of leads by example, really good player, but basically does a good job of just kind of showing the boys the right way to do things, and when he speaks up, it's impactful.
Dane Wilson here. First of all, congratulations on your new position. We're excited for the season to come up. And, Bradel stole my question about Ben Strinden, about the Iron Man and what that's all about. You know, I believe did he win it like 3 years in a row? That's like craziness.
Yeah. Well, he's, obviously he came in as an older guy, so he was pretty physically developed. But yeah, an incredible athlete, puts a lot of work into it as far as, how he eats and how he trains, and spend a ton of time up here at North Dakota all throughout the summer. So he was kind of ready for it. You know, he had told the boys, hey, I'm going to win it again. He had some challenges. A couple of guys were close to him, but Mangini and a couple of the guys had injuries. One of the things was that we were kind of real happy with was quite often we see our freshmen come in and be kind of quite far behind our existing guys. You know, the freshman guys are normally, none of them are in the top 10. They're just not as developed and kind of behind as far as their kind of professionalism and readiness to build their bodies up. But, you know, we had some really, really good finishes by guys. Jack Kernan as a rookie for us, and he was right at the top. David Klee was, we had a really, really strong finish. Ollie Josephson was really strong and really good there. So we had quite a few of our young guys that had a strong presence in the top of our lineup. So that's exciting that we're not kind of, you know, waiting for those guys to build. Like, physically, those guys are good players, but they're ready to compete for jobs as well.
Well, we'll go back a few years. Anybody challenge you? So you got involved? I remember beating Dean Blaze, kicking his butt 3 times in a row for a steak dinner at the old steak. And anyway, Blazer to this day still wants to challenge me back. So are you gonna get out there and compete in the Ironman, Coach?
No, I'm not. I'm not. But yeah, we were kind of talking as a staff. You know, with Brad Schlossman had kind of the past winners, and, you know, so Bryn Chizik had won 1 year, and I had won back in my day. So we were kind of chirping Smaby and Phil and Simpson a little bit about them not being on that list of winners.
Sometimes my co-hosts get a little bit too much, so I got to bring levity back to it, because the game is supposed to be fun, so you better get involved in that Ironman, Coach.
Oh, I told
That's
people.
Right.
I used to be good in the track and field until I took the 10-yard dash out. That was too long a race. You know? But one thing I throw out in high school and junior guys, when I talk to them, I go, if I give you one golden nugget, is work hard while you wait. Because that's a hard challenge, because he's all these superstars coming in, and, you know, how you fit in and work together is, you know, the name on the front of the jersey, right?
That's right. Yeah, there's no question. That's we've talked a lot about that, you guys, about our kind of our process, our day to day. You know, it's just like everybody says, oh yeah, I can't wait to, you know, play in the first game, or I can't wait to, you know, try to win a national title. And it's like, you know, in the moments of the summer, in the moments of training camp, when you're not just getting through practice, you know, you're not just getting through workouts, you're embracing it. You're, you know, intentional about what you're doing. You're having a focus to get better. And we're just talking about every day. Can we just get a 0.5% better than the rest of the country? You know, can we just slowly over time build so that in the second half of the season, you know, everybody's we're starting to kind of stack up those good days and just making small gains on other people and other teams to try to be at the end of the year be with the very, very top teams in the country.
Say, with regard to the style of play, is it from what we've seen over the last, let's say, I'm going to go back to 1983 to the present. Tell us your first year coaching, head coach of North Dakota hockey, what are you looking at and what are you trying to instill with these players, with the type of play that you want from them?
Yeah, well, I think the cores that we've been talking about with our guys and kind of our identity is kind of the, you know, some of the biggest things are, you know, high level workload, high level competitiveness, you know, high level kind of toughness and grit of how we play the game. You know, if we kind of start with that, you know, as far as, hey, we're going to work, we're going to compete, we're going to have a relentlessness to our play. You know, those are kind of non-negotiables that we say, hey, this is expected. If you're going to play in our team, this is what it's going to be. The guys that are the most hardest working, the most detailed, the most tenacious are going to probably earn more ice time than other guys. You know, having said that, you know, you need good players to make plays and win games. You know, you can't just have a bunch of grinders out there that are chipping pucks in and mucking it around in the corners, right? We have to have the ability to, be smart, have smart players that analyze the game and realize when we have a chance to make a high-end play and make a difference and put some risk in our game, and when we have to, you know, we're getting checked well and we have to just advance pucks and kind of put pucks ahead. So that to me is a big thing, that whole kind of puck management and idea about saying, hey, we're looking to stretch and create quick transition offense. We're looking to make high-level plays off the wall and get pucks to the inside of the ice. You know, those are critical things. You know, as much as you talk about, you know, grit and hardness and toughness and competitiveness, we're going to have all those things. But in addition to that, we got to say, hey, we got to have guys that have poise and playmaking and skill and courage to go to the inside of the ice to where the goals are scored. So it's always kind of a balance. You know, I'm a huge believer. You know, we built our team on those kind of premises that we talked about as far as the cores of the, you know, the kind of the character and the toughness side. But, you know, we're also, you know, going to really, when you kind of talk about style of play, I'm going to be like, I don't want as many pucks funneled to the net. I want us to value that puck. You know, if we don't have a great look to the net, we don't need to just throw it at the net if there's no traffic there and it's a clear-sighted shot. You know, we want to look for better. We want to, you know, delay, look for guys coming to late ice. We want to look for those quick strike pass-out plays that are, we know analytics say are extremely dangerous. You know, we don't want to just be going low to high to our defenseman. We want to look to kind of attack the inside ice. So those ideas, too, about saying, hey, yeah, we're going to have our core staples of toughness, grit, competitiveness, you know, playing fast, you know, hard to play against, all those things. But then on top of that, we got to layer in these other ideas of saying, hey, how are we going to create offense and how are we going to, you know, be smart about our tactical approaches to create the high-level scoring chances.
Well, Coach Dane Jackson, North Dakota Hockey, we're going to raise our Hams beer to you and say good luck tonight, good luck for the next couple of weeks, and we're going to say cheers.
Go win.
Go, Dane. Cheers.
Cheers
it,
to
boys.
You.
Thanks so much for the support. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for being on. Appreciate it.
Go win tonight, Coach.
Okay. Thanks, man. Appreciate the support.
That was head coach Dane Jackson from North Dakota Hockey. Eddie, we need to thank somebody.
Hey, Gateway Chevrolet, where you can save big on a Chevy, Silverado, Equinox, or Blazer. Go online at FargoChevrolet.com. So we appreciate Gateway Chevrolet sticking with the hockey guys. And, Jeff, we've got to come back and kind of get maybe some we haven't even ran down what happened last night in college hockey. So we'll have to come back and try to figure out what else is going on, because you said there's no longer a pairwise, but it is. It's just a different way to look at the game.
Listen, we'll be back with more of the wisdom of Coach Dean Wilson and the curse of speaking of Crazy Eddie right after this.
I'm a little surprised we haven't seen Mr. Hallstrom in the studio. I mean, the Gophers win a game, which is kind of rare in some years. They win their first game, and he doesn't come in wearing any Gopher gear, no hat. So I don't know what's going on with Mr. Hallstrom, but
he's usually got his Gopher sweatshirt, his Gopher even, hat, his Gopher glasses, yeah, his necklace,
We even started the year early. We're like on the first weekend in October here. We're all geared up, and he doesn't show up to brag up the Gophers.
Wills?
Speechless.
Coach.
Yeah, I was just
why
thinking.
Why don't you... tell us a little bit of what your thoughts are of Coach Dane Jackson from North Dakota Hockey. What he said.
I love what he said, you know. And there's things as a former coach, I used to smile where coaches go, give me 20 grinders, role players, and I'll take them anytime. I go, no, you got to have blue chip guys. You got to have a good combo. You know, you can't, when you got control of it, you can't dump a chase. I'd watch teams, I'm going, you got a 3-on-1 and you're dumping it? Or you know what I mean? Like, you got to look at those opportunities. You got to be able to play under pressure. You got to see the ice, good vision. And he said all those things that Coach Jackson said that I like to hear, because you know what? No, when you see that opportunity, you see vulnerability, you go for the throat. We want to grind it. We want to work hard, but we don't want to just play muck hockey. We want to play with I don't know if the word style, but just get after it. I mean, if you got kids with the ability or players, young men with the ability, get the job done. And I like that. I mean, he covered all the bases about, seize the opportunity, attack the seams and get after it. When we see vulnerability, we want to get after it. We don't want to play this, we want to grind it out with a purpose and be smart about it.
Well said. You must have had breakfast this morning. What'd you have? Wheaties?
Wheaties and two monster drinks. Monster drinks. No, I just like what he said, though, because I have coaches. I laugh because they go, give me 20 role players. No, you need guys that can get the job done. And that's what he's got. When you get those guys working hard and grinding and are smart players, you're dangerous. You're a dangerous team.
You know, the thing I liked is if you're not working hard, you're not playing.
Yeah.
And how many times have we seen over the last 40 years of whatever sport you want, a high-named, high player, a scout's coming to watch that player one way or the other, and that player is playing. And the hardest-working guy in the team who should be on the ice is sitting because a parent is in the stands or otherwise.
No. I was just waiting for him to say, hey, I'm coaching a team, party at the net. We need to play North Dakota hockey. The party's not in center ice. The party's in the crease. Spin the goalie. Got to get to the net. Party at the net, right? Like, The goal in the game is to get that little black disc over that red line between a six-foot post. And the rest of it is just ice. It's space. It's right. So, yeah, get back. Get in the offensive zone and get the puck to the net. By the way, if you watch Penn State, they annihilated Arizona at the net.
Just kept it simple, you know. And it's a simple game, and I've always said that. But like you said, you play with a sense of urgency. I like what you said, Jeff. The worst disease in the world is laziness. Because you can prevent that. The only thing you can control for sure, you know, you got a God-gifted ability at that level, but working hard, and you can control that. And get after it, you know. No excuses, get after it.
We have to have him back on because he mentioned character. We've had that discussion over the years. So character is one thing, but, you know, he identified his leadership group, but now we have to get him back on to say, okay, so who do you worry about, right? The phone call. Who do you worry about the phone call on Friday night?
Yeah.
The character. Who's the character on this team, Jeff?
You know, that's going to be the issue. Who's the character? You know,
when you're. Who keeps it loose? Who keeps it, right? Who keeps the game fun, so to speak?
Spin the bottle.
Yeah.
Spin the goalie. Hey, two teams traveled to Alaska this weekend. Bemidji State went to Alaska Anchorage. Bemidji State comes out with a 9-2 victory. That's a tough place to play. And then Minnesota Duluth scooted over to Fairbanks and took down Alaska 5-1. You know the team you got to watch out for this year, boys?
Miami.
Miami is going to be good, but also you take a look at Duluth. Duluth had one of the youngest teams in college hockey last year. They stuck together. Their core is back. And boy, they're going to be a team to battle with this year. You got to keep your eye out on.
And we always pay attention to Crookston boy, Wisconsin, 3-0 over Lindenwood.
Yeah, you know, the preseason they had them way down Wisconsin, you know. So with Hastings getting that victory, I think it's big for him to see what they're all really. I don't really know what they're all about Wisconsin this year. So it'll be interesting to see if they make their move on the way up.
And the Eagles, that's probably one that people are going to talk about because this may not have helped, but Quinnipiac.
Knocked them off, yeah.
Boston College. Yes. Oh, yeah. That was my pick of the day, score.
There may be some interesting. And then again,
I wonder if they can say, can we get some of that NIL money back from you players, right?
The other one that I...
you only get $80,000 this year. We should have won that first game.
the other one that always comes back, and this is interesting because, again, as much as Jeff kind of said, hey, the pairwise, they're changing to the new system, whatever, it's still going to be based on games played interdivisional or interconference. You had Canisius, and again, that's going to be that Atlantic taking out Clarkson. Clarkson comes from the Bigs. So you had a 3-1 minor conference, beat a major conference, and that always is interesting. But I do like the fact the NCHC has, through the first game of the season, fared better than they did 1 year ago, which really cost them a lot of status.
Within the pairwise. Yeah, that was a tough, the exhibition season. It was tough on the NCHC teams. They did not fare well, did they, last year? And at the end of the season when they needed the points, they just couldn't garner those points and the leverage to move up in the pairwise. Other than, as you mentioned, Arizona State losing last night, but it's another game tonight. The NCHC teams played very, very well. Miami and Ferris State in the CCHA has been a tough team in that league, and Miami, as you mentioned, Eddie, Miami knocked them off 6-4. So that
coaching changes there.
You know, and I always got to take my little zinger here when North Dakota State would manhandle Miami as club hockey. Just put my little zinger in there.
Hey, Vinny over in Europe, cheers. Have a Hams. Go look for a Hams in Europe. He's over supporting that team that's going to be on tomorrow morning. But again, we've started the year off, Jeff, with you're looking pretty slim and you're still looking for somebody to entertain you to go to the Gopher North Dakota game. So we'll just keep waiting for the phone call. If you need Jeff's cell number, just call the station. They have it.
Hey, Fargo Force play tonight at 6:05 at the Shields Arena. I just wanted to throw out for them a little shout out for them. Eads brought in 64 elite 18-year-old teams this weekend at Fargo. More great hockey.
Hey, thank you to our sponsors, Ham, Citywide, Gateway. We appreciate being with us. Also to the Fargo Forest, Dakota Refrigeration, and Carpet World.